Nova M Radio. This is the Mike Malloy Show. But astute listeners that you are, you know that this is not Mike Malloy. This is Johnny Wendell sitting in for the magnificent Mike Malloy, the divine Mr. M. He's decided to take Thanksgiving off to get stuffed. No, I mean, he's just, whatever. He's just not here. And I'm in for him. You can usually hear me at K-Talk in Los Angeles if you are so motivated. However, I'm in for Mike for the next 3 hours. Should be pointed out early and often that I can be easily reached at tbcwra@aol.com. tbcwra@aol.com. Very easy to remember. The Boston Celtics will rise again at AOL.com. And in reality, they have risen again as we speak. They're 8-1. I'm from Boston, Massachusetts, and I bleed Celtics green. So it's easy to remember. If you want to get a hold of me, tbcwra@aol.com. I'm easy to get a hold of. But I got to tell you something. There's a boy in Washington, D.C., who is hated, loathed, despised, cursed, poisoned, and condemned. That would be our boy, the little chubby man, Mr. Scotty McClellan. Now, look, unless you have been circling some planet other than the one that I'm currently inhabiting and sitting on, you have heard all about this remarkable revelation that is coming out in a new book. Scott McClellan's publisher has released 3 paragraphs from this new book. What happened inside the Bush White House, and what's wrong with Washington? McClellan has written a tell-all. Now, McClellan, as you know, was one of Bush's press secretaries. I believe he was in between Ari Fleischer and Tony Snow. Okay, that is possibly the most disgusting sandwich ever conceived. However, that being said, he has come out with a tell-all. Or his publisher has leaked some of the tell-all information. And apparently the hot part, the revelation that is setting the world on fire, sort of, I think it made page 20 in the Washington Post. They had to have, or on their website, it was tucked underneath the arrest that was made the Natalie Holloway in Aruba case. You see, because a dead white girl means nothing as opposed to the outing of a CIA agent, apparently. The gist of this is that McClellan says he has unknowingly passed along fake information as per the 5 highest-ranking officials in the Bush administration, Rove, Libby, Cheney, Andrew Card, and George Bush himself. This is what he said. He said, I stood at the White House briefing room podium in front of the glare of the Klieg lights for the better part of 2 weeks and publicly exonerated 2 of the senior-most aides in the White House, Karl Rove and Scooter Libby. And he says, there's just one problem in what I said. Nothing I said was true. And then he absolves himself and makes a rather inflammatory statement and very lucrative charge. He said, I unknowingly passed along false information. He claimed that the top 5 officials that I mentioned, Rove, Libby, Bush, Cheney, and Card, allowed him to inadvertently mislead the public. He exonerated Rove and Libby. He said that Rove and Libby were not the leakers. That's what he said. And this is, official Washington has gone completely slugnutty. It has gone berserk. Now, McClellan is backpedaling like crazy the last few days. And he says that, the most powerful leader in the world called upon me to speak on his behalf and help restore credibility. Because he lost this, if you remember back in 2003, he lost this amid the failure to find weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Okay, so he was sent out to try and say, hey, Rove and Libby, the 2 most powerful men in the Bush and Cheney sections of the White House, respectively, had nothing to do with the leaking of the CIA agent's name. Now, we know from testimony that even though it is claimed that they weren't the original leakers, that they, in fact, leaked and disseminated this information. And we know that Libby lied about it, which is why he got a 2-year sentence, of which he served absolutely no time whatsoever. Okay? So shortly after this news broke, Judith Miller and Matthew Cooper, who were reporters that received information about the Playmate Entity's wherewithal, She said, Judith Miller says, you're only good as your sources, which is a joke. Judith Miller's chief source was Ahmed Chalabi. She was Curveball's informant. Or more to the point, Curveball and Chalabi were pipelining information, the Office of Special Plans, through Cheney into the New York Times via Judith Miller. And why is it such a big deal? You get on the front page of the New York Times, an allegedly liberal newspaper, and all of a sudden you have credibility up the yin-yang. She was a valuable part of the propaganda that broke the war. And Cooper defended McClellan. He says, I was always frustrated that Rove and Libby misled McClellan, saying that we weren't leakers. He says, I'm glad that McClellan is frustrated too. Now, McClellan, after this little bomb that he dropped yesterday, has said nothing else. And it's weird, too, because if you remember, McClellan was the chubby guy in the suit in the Rose Garden that Bush threw his arms around. They had tears all over each other. Bush said, I thought he handled his assignment as my press secretary with real class and integrity, which is, of course, a joke because a White House press secretary is never supposed to show any integrity or ever tell the truth. He's had disseminators of every kind at this point. He's had the Rainbow Coalition of disseminators. He had that bullet-headed cue ball, Ari Fleischer, lying for him after 9/11 and telling reporters, oh, be careful what you say. Then he had McClellan, who never said anything that anybody could believe. Then Tony Snow, whose job before he was working for the Bush administration was working for Fox News. I mean, you got to be kidding. And after that, after Snow has a recurrence of cancer. We wish him the best. I hope he recovers and has a long, healthy life. Best that he stays out of the White House, lying for Bush. Then they got this Dana Perigno, whatever her name is. This bimbo, also pathologically incapable of telling the truth. Four straight liars. You know what my favorite White House press secretary of all time has got to be? Marlon Fitzwater. You remember him? He was Bush's father's last press secretary. He was great. Okay? He was fantastic. Because Fitzwater would come out with a smile on his face, his little smirk. It may as well have been a tattoo on his forehead or all of his head because, like so many of Bush's people, he's got no hair. I think Bush is jealous of everybody. Anybody who works for me got to be hairless like Rove and Cheney. Bunch of hairless chihuahuas running the country. Big, fat, white, bald, hairless chihuahuas. No wonder they're after Giuliani. Another big, fat, bald, hairless chihuahua. I crack myself up. At any rate, Fitzwater was great because he'd be smirking and laughing. Okay, he'd think the whole thing was hilarious. You knew he knew it. He knew he was lying. You knew he was lying. You know that he knew he was lying. It was wonderful. It was magnificent. But McClellan, he was a masterful obfuscator. He rarely told the truth. And now, all of a sudden, he points the finger. He says that Bush and Cheney were involved in giving the press false information about the CIA leak. He says, in effect, that George Bush implicated himself. Because remember what the president said. He said, if I know of anybody that is involved with the leak of Valerie Plame's identity, they will be thrown out of my administration. Well, his second press secretary just said, listen, my friend, you are involved. You are part of the problem. Therefore, if Bush is a man of his word, all right, I know it's a ridiculous abstraction. Of course he isn't. But if he were, he would have to resign. He would have to step down. He would have no choice. Because, in effect, he has said a leaker or somebody involved in the leak would have to go. Ian, do me a favor. What is the phone number here? I do not have it written down. 800, yeah? 989. 1480. You see, I am not in the studios. I'm in Los Angeles. So I'm going to have a question for you here. No, I'm going to have. I've got one. I'm going to have. Like I'm two separate people here running on two separate clocks. Question is this. With this information, and only a year left, should there be a impeachment procession? Is this the smoking gun the opposition has sought? Let's talk about this. 800-989-1480. 800-989-1480. My name is Johnny Wendell. In for Mike Malloy, who is getting stuffed for Thanksgiving. No, he's not. He's enjoying Thanksgiving. This is the Nova M Radio Network, and we will be back. Nova M Radio, the Mike Malloy Show, Johnny Wendell sitting in, talking to you live from Los Angeles, California, can be reached at tbcwra@aol.com, tbcwra@aol.com. Beam us up, Scotty. We're talking about our good friend Scotty McClellan, the mega liar. Scott McClellan is in the news. He's hawking a book. What happened inside the Bush White House? What's wrong with Washington? Why is he saying what he's saying? You know what he's saying. He is claiming that Rove and Libby essentially instructed him to lie, as did Andrew Card, Dick Cheney himself, and George W. Bush. If this is in fact the case, and Bush wants to live up to his own edict and ethos that says any leak in my administration will be prosecuted by the removal of same, he has to remove himself, does he not? And just so you, if you think this is an entirely a new revelation, this is not so. Okay. Now, we had found out in a court filing from Patrick Fitzgerald that Libby, compared to Karl Rove, was getting the short end of the exoneration in public. See, this has come out in court filings already. This may have only be in the news right now because of this book, but according to this filing, on the 28th of September, McClellan strongly defended Rove, saying suggestion that Bush's brain was the Plamegate leaker was ridiculous. There's no truth to that. So Libby, of course, felt that he needed the same kind of ringing endorsement as someone who had never leaked whatsoever. Okay? He picked up a pen and crafted a handwritten draft of what he wanted Scott to say about him. The New York Sun pointed out Libby's note reads like a poem. This is insane. You have to hear this to believe this. People have made too much of the difference in how I described Carl and Libby. I've talked to Libby. I've said it was ridiculous about Carl. It's ridiculous about Libby. This is what he wanted his monkey boy, Scott McClellan, to say. Libby was sticking words in his mouth. I'm saying like he was a marionette. Like he had his hand up his butt. Like it's Charlie McCarthy. Like it's, who's the one? Farfel. Unbelievable. And this is ridiculous about Libby. Libby was not the source of the Novak story, and he did not leak classified information. That's where it ends. It's not like it was Richard Armitage, and Daddy always liked you best. That's not what it says. That's what it says here. Okay. He did not leak classified information. Just concentrate on how ridiculous the writing is. Please. This is kiddie crap. But the question is this, and the question does remain. Even though there are only 14 months left in the Bush-Cheney nightmare, from the Carlo Gambino family of the Potomac and their ancillary friends, should there be an attempt to remove them immediately, if for no other reason? Okay, because you and I, we've talked about this, even on this very show, and I've only been on it once. Not exactly pro-impeachment. Why? Because they don't have the votes to get rid of him. I know this. You know this, too. You got to get 67 votes in the Senate. It doesn't happen. There are, what, 50 Democrats and Lieberman? Not a chance. You're not going to get 17 Republicanischen to turn on the president, especially in an election year, even with things going totally to crap the way they are. However, hear me out. Should Bush be impeached if for no other reason than it would tie his hands to the point that he could do no more damage? Do you agree with me on this? Because now you've got a smoking gun. We're at 800-989-1480, 800-989-1480. Frankly, I can't think of anything more patriotic than doing just this. The House Judiciary Committee, why not? Go for it, Zoe Lofgren. Go for it, John Conyers. Even the Republicans on the Judiciary Committee, look what you can do. Because think of it like this. You tie him up in this impeachment thing. He wouldn't dare wag the dang dog, ding dang a dig a dang dang dog, and bomb 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 Iran, now would he? No, this isn't an aspirin factory in the Sudan we're talking about here that would be a major undertaking, and he won't do it. And I think that that's why this should be done. Maybe it would be fruitless. Maybe it would debase the impeachment process. But frankly, after the 1990s, how much more of a debaser, the Pixies 1989, could this possibly be? Not a chance. I think if it ties his hands, it is a good thing. And also, this does give some kind of momentum to Dennis Kucinich's idea in the Congress that you impeach Cheney because Cheney lied the country into the Iraq War. I think this is a good idea. I mean, I recognize that the Democratic Party, they're a bunch of cowards, pink tutu-wearing sissy ballerina types. Not likely to do this. Nancy Pelosi, impeachment is off the table. No, since when? Says who? I got a congressman here in my district. If I want to write him and I go, you do not take that off the table. You take off the table what I tell you to take off the table. You're my servant. I don't work for you. You work for me. Why not? And I've been against this the whole time. I figured if Bush at least got to 48% legitimately, and I know about the voting machines and the diebolds, et cetera, et al. Ad nauseum. A lot of Americans backed him. Well, that imbecile is at 24% approval at this point right now. He's about as popular as gum disease. Why not go after him? Because if nothing else, you tie his hands. You make it impossible for him to do any more damage. Let's talk about this. 800-989-1480. Ah, what an appropriate tune we have for the president. Crank it up, Ian. This is Monkey Man by Toots and the Maytals. Ah, I love this tune. 800-989-1480. Johnny Wendell on the Mike Malloy Show. This is Nova M. Rick. Nova M Radio. This is the Mike Malloy Show. This is Johnny Wendell, in for Mike Malloy. And this is Neil Young, of course, singing Let's Impeach the President. There has been some serious news afoot in the last couple of days, as per a smoking gun. George W. Bush himself has said anyone who would be involved in the leaking of the name of a CIA agent would be fired. His father said that anybody who was involved in the destruction of a career of a CIA agent would be committing treason. Remember his father. His father was the director of the CIA at one point. Treason. You might be able to do a little better than just impeachment if treason would be the final call. Because we know what the punishment for treason would be. We're at 800-989-1480. 800-989-1480. If former press secretary Scott McClellan is on the level, we know he is flacking a book, What Happened Inside the Bush White House and What's Wrong with Washington. If, as he says, that he stood at the White House briefing podium in front of the glare of the Klieg lights for the better part of 2 weeks and publicly exonerated Rove and Libby and knew, as he says in one of these paragraphs, that Rove, Libby, Cheney, Card, and Bush himself were involved in my doing so, In other words, he was disseminating lies that they knew were lies. That's perjury. Because after all, he took an oath of office. You don't necessarily have to be under oath, with your hand on the Bible in terms of straight testimony, right? He was executing the oath of office. He executed the office stone dead. So the question does remain. Should Bush be impeached even though there are only 14 months left in his term? As I said before, ordinarily I would say, why bother? You're not going to get the Republicans to vote for this stuff. You know what's amazing? Bush is at 24% approval. That's charitable, I think. That figure is about a month old at this point. And yet, among Republicans, his approval is 70%, which is why, even though he's at 24% approval, you don't hear Giuliani, Thompson, McCain, Huckabee, Romney, the rest of the Republicans knocking him. They won't, because the hardcore base of De Parti Republicanisha still worships Mr. Bush and still worships the party. They will not accept any wrong or wrongdoing or malfeasance from this gentleman and his henchmen. That being said, even if you know you can't go for a conviction, why not haul him in and tie his hands up for 14 months? At this point, me, Johnny Wendell, someone who thought he'd never say this, I say let's go for it. We are at 800-989-1480. Alan in Alameda, California. You're on with Johnny. Alan, I cannot get you. Ah, there you are, Alan. Okay.
How are you, Johnny?
Very good. What do you think of this?
Oh, I think that if Bush were an honorable man, he would stand by his pledge and immediately resign. But we all know that won't happen because he has no honor.
No. And also, he would. You know what his defense would be? He would be saying something along the lines of, Scott McClellan misinterpreted something that I may have said. That would be like the most charitable event. He would never come out and say, prove that I ever did this.
Well, okay. He'll accuse Scott McClellan of lying, of course, because that was his job when he was press secretary.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. He's not a prevaricator or a liar when he's working for you. When he blows the whistle on you, all of a sudden he becomes a liar. You are aware that they're already in the great right-wing noise machine. They're already making this claim, right? Did you know this?
Oh, of course they will. I mean, that's obvious.
No, not that they will. They are, Alan. This
Absolutely.
Is happening already.
I believe it.
Yeah.
But if it's so important and it's so necessary that impeachment begin as soon as possible, even if it's not a successful impeachment, because
Correct.
Do nothing is to send a signal to whomever might follow as our next president, and I hope we have one, and this is not a president for life situation we've got.
Yeah, you hope it isn't martial law and all of us get
Absolutely.
Sent into camps.
But
yeah.
If our Congress does not put their foot down and say, this is still a nation of laws.
Correct.
A president cannot break the law. A president cannot commit perjury, cannot
Right.
commit treason, cannot out covert agents. Then we are basically saying America has become a lawless land, and anyone who manages to get into this office by hook or by crook has carte blanche to terrorize the world.
Sure, and also it should be pointed out, Alan, and you're completely right, by the way. It also should be pointed out, it isn't just an issue of the laws and the subversion of the laws in question. If you are talking about a CIA covert agent, and you constantly hear the idea, oh, she was a desk jockey, she wasn't covert. In testimony, she said in Congress, has entered into the record, I was a covert agent. If she wasn't, she would have been perjured, and she wasn't. Okay, so the government admits that she was a covert agent. Her job was to prevent the proliferation of nuclear weapons in the world. If you are spending your time making it impossible for those people to do their jobs when they leave via attrition or retirement or whatever, you will not replace them. Which means that it is a de facto case of you deliberately weakening the ability of the United States to defend itself. Ergo, that is absolutely treason. That is directly treasonous behavior. If you make it harder for us to live safely, then you are committing treason. We are at 800-989-1480, 800-989-1480. That is our number here on the Mike Malloy Show. Mickey, in Georgia, you are on with Johnny. Mickey.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm very well, Mickey. What do you think?
I think that impeachment is exactly the right thing to do. It is the necessary thing to do. Because, I mean, it has been mentioned 6 times in the Constitution. It is a tool that we need to use to change the course in this country. I mean, he should be glad he's in a country of laws.
Here's a question for you.
Rather than drag his body through the streets like Il Duce, you know?
or Ceausescu, where his whole family got capped as well, yeah.
I know. I mean, we don't have to tolerate this.
Well, here's the thing. Impeachment is necessary when there has been a breach, when high crimes and misdemeanors can be proven. Okay? If you are part of a cabal, Mickey, or a conspiracy, in order to prevent a government employee from doing their job, which includes the defense of the country, that is in and of itself a high crime. It's treason. It is a high crime. I'm sorry. I cut you off there, sir. There you are. Are you back? There you are. Okay, I hit the wrong button. I'm new with this kind of thing.
We have rated this man on a bell curve for too long. I mean, this guy, I mean, he's the handicap. I mean, I don't know why they do not just say what it is. It's just treason. He's not in the interest of the country. He's not in the interest of the economy. He's not in the interest of life and the world or morals or any other of that crap. He doesn't care about international law. He doesn't care about domestic law.
No. And once again, if in fact you are for one thing, let's get Scott McClellan under oath. Do we agree on that? The McClellan, if this book comes out, should be dragged in front of at least the House Judiciary Committee and the Senate. I say absolutely. We drag McClellan out. Did this happen? On which days did this happen? What did Bush know? When did he know it? It's not that hard to do. We lived through Watergate. We remember this stuff. We lived through Iran-Contra. We lived through the ridiculousness, the insanity of the impeachment trials, the witch trials, the Salem on the Potomac trials of Bill Clinton in the 1990s. Bill Clinton was no saint. He signed ridiculous legislation. Secret evidence. The Telecommunications Act of 1996 led to nothing but more and more consolidation. Terrible, terrible laws. But to be impeached for having a girlfriend in the White House? Ridiculous. Wasn't popular with people in the country. I got to tell you something. I've seen polling that says impeachment runs as high as 56% to impeach Cheney, at least, if not Bush. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about this bad boy because, you know, I've been against the idea of impeaching Bush forever. I really have. I'm the kind of person who says, don't make accusations if you can't make a clean crime sit all the way through. In other words, don't go for something if you know an acquittal is a sure bet. And we know he'll be acquitted because the Republicans are never going to do anything to contradict the best interests of the Republican Party. So, impeachment would be a gesture. But I think it's a gesture that has to be undertaken. Are you with me or against me? 800-989-1480. 800-989-1480. My name is Johnny Wendell. It's the Nova M Network, the Mike Malloy Show. When we come back, let's talk about impeaching Bush. Has a smoking gun appeared? I say yes. Nova M. Nova M Radio, the Mike Malloy Show, Johnny Wendell in. Everybody's doing what they're told to. White Riot by The Clash. I can't believe this song is 30 years old now. Like a corn's that old. Anyway, we need a White Riot of our own, apparently. We got to get rid of the government we got. 14 months left. I've never said it before. I'm going to say it now. It is time to impeach Scott McClellan, who was Bush's second press secretary after Bullethead Harry, watch what you say, Fleischer, before Tony, I used to lie on Fox for more money than I'm getting now, and they think it's a promotion. Snow! Scott McClellan says basically Bush sent him out there and says, go protect Rove and Livy, even though they were part and parcel of the plan that outed and destroyed Valerie Plame's Wilson's career. I'm hoping I don't have to go into too much details about who Valerie Plame was. You know who she was. She was a covert CIA officer who worked preventing the proliferation of the same weapons of mass destruction that they claim we went to war in Iraq over. They didn't exist. The ones she was looking for were real. Guess who ended up getting screwed in that deal? We're at 800-989-1480. Is it time to get rid of this Strudz and his animales grandes, his cohorts and cohogs in the Bush administration? I say, you know something? Impeach him just to tie him up. If it takes Scott McClellan's book to come out to do so, that's fine. Emma, in Granite Bay, California, you're on with Johnny. Emma.
Yes, hi, how are you?
I'm very well. What do you think of this?
I think you're right. It's time. It's past time. This is not the smoking gun of the Bush administration. This is the mushroom cloud.
Oh, how Condoleezza Rice of you. Thank you much,
Liam. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
Except the last time they invoked the mushroom cloud, it was crapola. I think this is real.
I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. I think it's absolutely high time to hold Republicans accountable. That sophomoric in-your-face display that they put on the House floor a few weeks ago, daring the American people to hold them accountable, I think should be accommodated. The Judiciary Committee needs to move on this. Hold the open debate and make it very public about the impeachment of Dick Cheney, and the president himself should undergo a resolution of inquiry.
Now, here's a question for you. Preceding this resolution in the House Judiciary Committee, do you think it would be appropriate to get McClellan under oath and on the record in front of the House and Senate both saying, these are the events that transpired at this time and these days, and this is what was said, and I will put my hand on the Bible and say this is real. I will go under oath. I'm not perjuring myself. Do you think that preceding what you are looking for, testimony from McClellan would be an absolute must? I think so, Emma.
I agree with you. I do think it needs to be an absolute must. You know, most of these folks have been lying for quite some time. They do not have the faith of the American people, and I don't know many Republicans who can really stand up for somebody who's willing to create an act of treason.
No, absolutely not. And, more importantly, if McClellan said this stuff is so, Libby, forget about it. Libby is going to wait out the clock. Okay, he's going to get his pardon at the end of Bush's term, and he's not going to jail. They basically, his sentence is in limbo. Nothing's going to happen with him. Rove, irrelevant. I think the weak link here is Andy Card, the former chief of staff in the White House. If implicated, I think he sings like a bird. I think he's the guy you go for. I think he's the key. Byrne, Miami, Florida. You're on with Johnny. Byrne.
Yes.
What is your take on this?
What Byrne. Hello?
Yes, I have you, son. Go ahead.
Okay, what I was concerned about, I don't know if this could be an impeachable thing or not, but somehow, like all the wars that we've been involved with, we always knew approximately where our prisoners of war were.
Right.
So this over here, I have no idea, or maybe you do, where the American prisoners of war are.
What America? What, our own POWs, you mean?
Yes, American prisoners of war. Where are they?
Good. First of all, in order for them to be POWs, it also have to be MIAs. You notice something, Byrne. There have been no MIAs either. Have you noticed that? We've been at war almost 5 years, no POW MIAs. I mean, admittedly, we're fighting a different kind of war in Iraq and in Afghanistan than we were fighting before. Almost all of this is essentially police so-called insurgent control. But you do raise an interesting point. Here's another point maybe you don't know about this, Byrne. there are more Americans in Iraq today than there ever have been before. Every time, by the way, every time you open up the newspaper, you turn on the internet, listen to the radio, cable TV, whatever, Iraq is simmering down, casualties are way down. Well, you know why? There are over 350,000 American personnel, either as private contractors or military, that are in the country right now, which coincidentally is everything Eric Shinseki was saying they had to do 5 years ago, and now they're implementing it. Now that we are $620 billion in the hole. That should horrify you a little bit. And all of this could have been avoided and never should have happened. But look at what we got. I got to tell you something for the 1 trillionth time. It would seem to me that doing something in vain as a gesture, because after all, the impeachment of Bill Clinton was a gesture. They knew they didn't have the votes in that one either. This kind of gesture is for the health and the well-being and the sanity of the country. If you tie these guys' hands up enough, it makes it absolutely impossible for them to do that much more damage. I mean, I wouldn't put it past them to do a lot of dog-wagging. They still do have the military, and we will be talking in the future about this $50 billion appropriation and the threats that are going along with it. But all the same, this is nasty, nasty, nasty business. The issue that keeps on giving that concerns an awful lot of Americans, even in my neck, especially in my neck of the woods, would be that of illegal immigration and the flow of bodies over the borders. As the election draws near 2008, you wouldn't believe some of the ideas that are floating out there. And we're going to talk about all of them when we come back. Because I'm Johnny Wendell, and this is the Mike Malloy Show on Nova M Radio. Stay tuned. Don't go no place. Nova M. That's funny. Nova M Radio, the Mike Malloy Show, Johnny Wendell sitting in, sitting through a lovely orchestral version of Pink Floyd's Wish You Were Here. That's what that was, right? Yeah. It was funny. It reminded me, listening to that thing, of the orchestral version of the Rolling Stones song, The Last Time, which became the basis of the tune Bittersweet Symphony by Blur, which is a gigantic hit. The Stones ended up suing Blur for it, because, as you know, the Stones needed the money. Funny, you know something? You make music, it sits around it long enough, it morphs into stuff that you wouldn't believe. True? My name is Johnny Wendell. I'm in for Mike Malloy. Mike decided to take the night off and give me his mic. Mike's mic. Not bad. I am easy to reach if you want to babble, scrabble, whatever you want to do. I'm at tbcwra@aol.com. tbcwra@aol.com. Easy to remember. The Boston Celtics will rise again at AOL.com. tbcwra@aol.com. We just got done talking about Scotty Boy McClellan ratting out Bush. Should Bush be impeached? Apparently, we got a news item just came into us from MSNBC. According to McClellan's publisher, McClellan believes that Bush didn't deliberately mislead him. So that's going to be in the news tomorrow. I mean, they're backtracking immediately. The story isn't 48 hours old, and they're already, well, you've got to cover my ass on this one. I'm terrified of the Bush crime syndicate. They could put two in my dome. I end up like Vince Foster. All right, it was a different presidency, whatever. Oh, the craziness, the craziness, the craziness of these people. But I got to tell you something, man. 2008 is beckoning, as we know. And we know the New Hampshire primary is what, in the first week of January 2008, that is right after the Iowa caucuses, which means that you are going to get politicked up your butt for the next 6.5 weeks. There's no way to avoid it. You're going to be buried under this stuff. And you're going to be, and you know what really, really stinks? Because we've got a really sucko mainstream media in America. Every day you open up the news and they give you this horse race crap about who's up in Iowa, who's down, who's up in Michigan, who's down, who's up in New Hampshire, who's down, who's up in South Carolina, who's down. Horse racing stuff. Did Obama make a slip? Did Romney say the wrong thing? Blah, 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 blah. This crap that is irrelevant. And yet, when we ask for more policy specifics, because realistically speaking, I don't know about you. I can't speak for you. I can only speak for myself. I really do want to know where the next president of the United States, assuming Bush doesn't put us in martial law and throw us all in camps, the next president on 1/20/2009, that I know where he, she, or it stands. Yeah, I want to know. I want to know what's going to happen. But there are events that happen. There's policy put forth every now and again, which really does make you want to scream. It makes you want to rip your hair out. And this one, this is priceless, man. This comes to us from Rudolph Lewis William Giuliani, maybe William Lewis Giuliani. I can never keep his middle name straight. The former mayor of New York, okay? A big issue in the Republican primaries and in the Republican nominating process is, of course, illegal immigration. They're obsessed with this. Me? I got to tell you, I live in Southern California. There are illegal immigrants that live on my block. I know it. They told me they're illegal. What am I going to do? Finger them, turn them in, put on the rat jacket, squeal on them? No. Hardworking, normal, nice people, I don't care. I'll readily admit it. However, it's really funny to me that I live in Los Angeles. I live 5 minutes from downtown Los Angeles. You go 40 miles south into Orange County or into North San Diego County, these gated communities like Rancho San Douchebag or whatever, and all these people have no contact whatsoever with Latino illegals unless, of course, they're cleaning out their pools or they're bussing their tables. It's absolutely, these people are freaking out over them, okay? It's ridiculous to me, too. I don't know if you knew this or not. 40% of illegal immigrants in America came here legally. They're on expired work permits and visas. There's 70,000 Slavic illegals in Cook County, Chicago alone. Nobody cares about them. Why do they care about people from south of the border? Well, I'll let you make up your own mind. You and I know why this is, whether you are pro or anti-illegal immigration. Much of the vitriol in it, because frankly, I'm not a fan of illegal anything, generally. But you got to hand it to the Republicans. They have dug themselves a hole with this one. Because after all, there are two wings of the Republican Party, the corporate wing, where all the money is, and then the crazy bat crap, loony, moon bat, over the sky xenophobic racist types. And they're at war with each other over this issue because the corporate types want lots and lots of cheap labor. Essentially, they're libertarians when it comes to the border. And, oh, this is beautiful. Rudy Giuliani has an idea of how to keep people from crossing the southern border of the United States. He loves the idea of a, quote, virtual rather than an actual fence across the Mexican border. Okay. This is what he wants. He wants a virtual border. Okay. What that means is a high-tech, not actual wall, which monitors people coming and going. Okay? A virtual fence, as in virtual reality. This has to be one of the most ludicrous ideas I've ever heard. But this is what he's saying. He says, he will not address the idea of a fence in the Rio Grande Valley. Okay? Opponents of the fence, including most local officials, say a physical fence would restrict access and hurt their livelihoods, in some case creating a no-man's land between the river and the fence. It isn't just that. I got a friend in Texas who tells me, in effect, you have a lot of wealthy landowners on the Rio Grande River. They do not want an ugly fence marring their beautiful ranches and their estates and haciendas, etc., et al. Ad nauseum. It's the classic case of NIMBY, not in my backyard. They don't want that. They don't want that at all. And it's funny, too, because like you talk to the same people and they'll tell you that, that on a weekly, if not daily basis, they're dragging dead bodies out of these fields. There's a lot of nasty competition for the coyotes, the guys, that bring, the people that bring the illegals over and stuff. They're in rival gangs. They're shooting at each other. There's massive amounts of violence on the Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, and California borders. It's nasty. But I got to tell you something. Putting up a cyber fence, which is what Randy Rudy, the nutcase, was screwing his mistress in Building 7, which fell down. This nutcase, this idiot, this mafia-connected clown, actually seems to think that this will somehow keep people away. I got news for you, Randy Rudy, Giuliani, the drag queen. I have something to tell you, my good friend. If you put up a virtual fence, you still have to have people manning the cameras. You still need thousands, if not tens of thousands, of border agents to guard this 700-mile-long strip. It is just as dumb as putting up a great big ugly fence or an alternative plan. Oh, this is beautiful. That the Texas mayors, like in Brownsville, Corpus Christi, El Paso, along the river, what they want. Okay, now, I want you to absorb what you have just heard for this. He wants Giuliani, America's mayor, the Republican frontrunner, polling at 28% among Republicans, which means three-quarters of them don't want to vote for him, okay? Giuliani has said, put up a virtual fence. Okay, now, he's full of crap, too, by the way, because he was mayor of New York. He looked the other way when illegals were proliferating in his five boroughs, okay? And Romney and Fred Thompson and the others have just been ridiculing him constantly for this. Also, remember, Giuliani is the same guy who said that illegal immigration is not a crime. It is a civil matter. He said this. It's a matter to be litigated. I heard him say this myself on CNN. I almost pooped my pants, a Republican actually telling the truth. Not that the Democrats are that much better, but still, this was shocking. However, he wants to put up a fence made out of air and electronic wires. He's out of his mind. That isn't going to deter anybody. When we come back, there is an idea equally ludicrous that is being floated by the mayors of these Texas cities, as I mentioned, and Wendell's, that's me, Johnny Wendell, actual solution to this problem, because there is one, and it will shock you. However, I'm all ears, baby. What do you think, if anything, should be done about the so-called problem of illegal immigration? We're at 800-989-1480. Is this, in fact, a real problem, or is just a lot of nonsense to stir people up and get them mad at the brown hordes coming over the border in their fevered imaginations? We're at 800-989-1480. Wendell, Nova M. We'll be back. Nova EM Radio, the Mike Malloy Show, Johnny Wendell in. David Bowie says he's afraid of Americans. Americans seem to be afraid of illegals. What to do about illegal immigration? Rudy Giuliani wants to put a fence made up of air in between the United States and Mexico. We are at 800-989-1480. Is this a ludicrous idea? 800-989-1480. You know why Mr. Giuliani, the former mayor, America's mayor, the mayor of New York City, you know why he wants to do this? Because landowners in the Rio Grande do not want a big ugly fence in their backyard. Also, they don't want to create a zone in between the United States and Mexico, which is no man's land, and makes said no man's land worthless. That is a problem. Now, mayors in various Texas cities, including El Paso Mayor John Cook, have come up with something equally ridiculous. See, because in my opinion, Giuliani's idea is absurd. It's nonsense. A real fence wouldn't keep people out. Why do you think one that is not made of anything is going to keep people out? You can't possibly patrol the area as copiously as you would like. We neither have the manpower, like a National Guard. They're in Iraq and Afghanistan. The National Guard in America is going to be dealing with a major catastrophe early next year. Did you know about this? The state of Georgia is drying up. There's no water. There may have to be mass evacuations of that state in January and February. Where's the Georgia National Guard? Baghdad! No, we don't have the personnel. This is ridiculous. But you'll love this one. Mayor John Cook of El Paso says that if you dredge the Rio Grande River and you make it wider and deeper, you will keep the tens of thousands of illegals crossing every month. Clearing the river out so it can have a line of sight. In other words, no more brush on the riverside. Dig it out. Take all the garbage out, you know, plus all the dead bodies of the people that never made it all the way across. And this is a good idea. I'm curious. El Paso, Texas is a gigantic city. It's a big city. You actually got people to vote for you with this kind of thinking? I have an idea. Let's make the river wider. How much wider are you going to make it? First of all, it's a great big river in a gigantic canyon. I've seen what the Rio Grande looks like. Let's assume that you dredge the thing out. Where are you going to put all the slush, the sludge that you just took out? Where is that going to go? In Mexico or the United States? Mexicans don't want this. It's an American idea. Therefore, all the crap that you take out of the bottom of the river, it is going to go into Texas onto wealthy landowners' lands. They don't want that either. In other words, this idea is DOA, dead on arrival. But you know, Giuliani postures with his air fence. The mayor of El Paso postures with his nonsense. And you know why? Because they want to make it look like they're doing something. See, it's important because this is a terrible problem and they have to be doing something, all right? Not just wringing their hands, praying that something happens like they're doing in Georgia with the drought. That's right, the governor of Georgia had a prayer session, so praying for rain didn't happen. I got to tell you something, a prayer session to stop or stanch the flow of illegal immigration, assuming that's what you wanted to do, praying makes more sense than the air fence and dredging the river. And you know why? Because it doesn't cost anything. There is a solution, but because I am a magnanimous man, I will listen to you first. Chris, in Staten Island, New York, you're on with Johnny. Chris, what do you think? Chris?
Yes.
There you are, my friend. What do you think of this? What do you think of this?
I think it's all, you're never going to see a fence, you're never going to see a virtual fence, you're never going to see a dredging of the river. Why? Because unauthorized workers, illegal immigrants, whatever you want to call them,
right,
are the new slaves. They're just, they're like slaves in that they have no rights, and they can't stop, and they can't defend themselves as workers, but they're better because you don't have to pay for their housing, you don't have to pay for their
benefits.
Welfare,
all
you do is give them a pittance.
Chris, I got a question for you. You live in New York City, right? Technically, Staten Island is part of New York City. It's one of the five boroughs. Now, you must hear frequently about those people that don't like illegal immigrations. They will cite the example of Israel and their border fence. Do they not? You hear that on the radio in New York all the time. Okay? If Israel can keep out the Palestinians with a border fence, we can do that with Mexico. You do hear that, right?
When you live on Staten Island and live with the mooks I have to live next to, then yes, you hear that all the time.
That wasn't very nice. You know, what's really,
I hate to break it to everyone. But
you know what's really interesting? Mike always calls the Bush crime family, right? You're on Staten Island. That's the home of Paul Castellano and the Gambinos. You should talk.
I know nothing about that. I don't know.
Pleading the fifth, eh? All right. But better that than drinking the fifth. I'll go along with that. Chris. Here's the deal in a nutshell, right? One of the reasons why it works in Israel and wouldn't work with Mexico is the Israeli government really doesn't want the Palestinians to come into Israel. The government's against it. Here, the U.S. government is dying for lots of cheap slave labor. And why? Because their lobbyists and contributors on K Street want it. You are correct, sir. When we come back, Wendell's solution. You'll be shocked. 800-989-1480. TBCWRA at AOL.com. Wendell from Mike Malloy, Nova M Radio. Don't go anywhere. Nova AM Radio. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Johnny Wendell in for the vacationing Mike Malloy here on Nova AM. We're talking about the absolute ludicrousness of some ideas that are being put forth by politicians pretending that they care about stanching the flow of illegal immigrants across the southern border. They don't care. And you know something? There are people that get worked up into a frenzy over this on the right, the left, in the middle, whatever. I got news for you. You are being undermined by your own government. The United States government has no interest whatsoever in stopping illegal immigrants. They have no, in fact, they don't care if terrorism comes over the southern or northern borders or in from the oceans. They don't care. As long as you got cheap, undocumented labor driving down the cost, everything is fine. They know who to answer to, the big corporate powers that be, especially in the agricultural businesses of America, because after all, one of the few net exports America has is food products, processed food. As is. Do you know what the number three big exports in America are? Weapons, tobacco, and processed foods. That's right. If we don't kill you, you'll get cancer or you get diabetes. We'll kill you one way or another in America. That's the red, white, and blue. I joke, of course. I'm Johnny Wendell. We're at 800-989-1480. 800-989-1480. Do you believe that illegal immigration is as big an issue as they claim that it is? What would you do if you could about this issue? I'm also at tbcwra@aol.com. tbcwra@aol.com. If you want to continue this a little bit later. I got news for you. And this is going to stun you. The way I look at it, illegal immigration is going to die of attrition. It's not going to exist 2 or 3 years from now if the country keeps going in the direction it's going in. You don't have to build no damn fence. You don't have to dig the Rio Grande deeper. You don't have to extend the Rio Grande all the way to San Diego if you are so motivated. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do anything with the Canadian border either. Wouldn't make any difference, and you want to know why? I live in Los Angeles, and I know lots of people that are so-called undocumented workers, and I can tell you that one of the main reasons they come here, not just for a better life for themselves, but to send money home to Guatemala, Nicaragua, El Salvador, Panama, Mexico, not Costa Rica. Their standard of living is higher than ours, so that we're not losing anything to them. Okay? They send money home. It is a gigantic business. We have heard anywhere from $5 to $10 billion a year go to Mexico alone, which is why Vicente Fox, when he was the president of that country, looked the other way. And Calderon does the same. They have no intention of stopping the flow of illegals from Mexico into America because said illegals send money back to Mexico. Well, guess what? I don't know if you've been following this or not, but the U.S. dollar don't buy as much as it used to. It don't go as far south, in a manner of speaking, as it used to. It is beneath parity with the Canadian loon, the Canadian dollar. It is falling opposite the peso, a Mexican currency. Therefore, the idea that people are going to come to America and they're going to work hard and send their money home, why would they? If they are working to send $200, $300 home a month to some family of campesinos in the southern part of Mexico, why would you if it buys $200 worth of goods a year from now, and $100 2 years from now? The devaluation of the dollar, says me, Johnny Wendell, will kill illegal immigration. It will kill illegal immigration from Europe, from Asia, from Africa, South America, and Central America. It is a sure thing, because one of the main motivations of illegal immigration is to send money home. You don't need a fence. You don't need anything. And you know something? They're not devaluing the dollar for this specific reason. The dollar is losing impetus. It's losing steam. It's losing power because we're in debt to everybody. And instead of shoring the dollar up by raising interest rates so that the dollar is actually worth more, you can't do that because there's an election year coming in 2008. You raise interest rates, you know what happens automatically. The stock market goes down. You raise interest rates. Money becomes tight. Banks stop loaning money. It's ridiculous. Banks can't loan money now anyway because credit is so bad. Look at the subprime disaster that we had. Yet, they will not raise interest rates. Interest rates choke off inflation. They also choke off growth when they go high. But it's the only way to make the dollar worth something, and they don't want to do it because if you keep the dollar value low, they are hoping that if interest rates fall all the way to 1%, that people will refinance the terrible mortgages they have down low again and somehow dig themselves out with more credit. And with the dollar not worth anything, there is no reason for anybody to come here and send that money home. Brilliant, huh? I figured this out all by my ownsome and all by my lonesome. Question. Do you think a devalued dollar falling against the loon and the peso and other currencies in the world will eventually end the allure of crossing the border and being undocumented? I say give it a couple of years if the dollar keeps taking a hit. We're at 800-989-1480. 800-989-1480. There is a historical precedent for this in its own way, just so you know. But I want to talk to you. We're at 800-989-1480. G, in Madison, Wisconsin, you're on with Johnny. G, what do you think?
Hi. I'm calling from Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And I'm originally from India.
Yeah.
And I basically have, I just want to say that, first of all, I don't believe in the concept of the nation state. It was basically forced on the rest of the world by the Western powers.
Okay.
I don't believe in borders. So the second thing is that I don't understand this whole big flap over illegal immigration.
Yeah.
First,
are
the
you
rest
legal?
Of the Europeans come to America.
Gee, you're legal, aren't you? Gee, you're here legally, right?
I'm illegally, yeah. I'm from India. I mean, Indians are high commodity imports, you know.
Okay. Are you here on an HB1 visa?
No.
No, you're not. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I basically came a long time ago in 1985 as a doctor and scientist, and I quit everything in 1991 because I didn't agree with animal research. So
I'm
worth an HB1 visa.
Let me ask you something. Yeah. You seem like an educated man. Let me ask you something. If my thesis says, essentially, if the dollar becomes worth less and less and less, people are going to be less attracted to come to the United States. Do you think that holds any validity?
Well, sure.
Okay.
I mean, people say that people love freedom and they come to America for freedom. No, they don't come to America for freedom. They come to America
to make
for the
money.
Simple reason that America has made their country so unlivable with all the trade policies and the economic hitmen, et cetera, et cetera. That's why they come over here.
Oh, I see. Sort of like your former country, India, where so much of our jobs have been outsourced to, G. I mean, come on. That's ridiculous. We made life in India unbearable. You were underneath the British crown until 1947. If you got a beef with anybody in India, it's with the British, not with the United States of America. You know. And by the way, in as much as Delhi and Calcutta and Bombay, they are all booming right now with call centers, with jobs that used to be here. If anything, should be happy that America is the way that it is. Okay? And I don't like the idea that so many jobs have been hemorrhaged overseas. I think it's ridiculous. The fact that the government has trade policies that encourage such things is absolutely anathema to everything I think and believe. But I do thank you for calling, G. It did take some courage in its own way. We're at 800-989-1480. 800-989-1480. That is our number. Will the falling dollar and crapping out of the economy, courtesy of the idiots that have been running the country for the last 7 years, will that eventually destroy the allure of America for people who want to come here? I say it absolutely will. Why go anywhere when you got it better at home? Preston, in Denver, Colorado, you're on with Johnny. Preston, what do you think of this?
Hi, Johnny. Thanks so much to you and your listeners for expanding the conversation about immigration.
Yeah.
So often it's limited to, you know, we're under attack, it's a crisis, and how do we reply in some punitive manner?
A race baiting crap, in other words, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And a lot of cultivating resentment. And you're right when you say a wall wouldn't work in many ways and would anger a lot of property owners, would anger people concerned about the welfare of the people migrating here and the environmental impacts and so forth, but it would make a ton of money to high-tech industry. You know, so many are wars, whether it's against immigrants or Arabs or
whoever. I mean, the warmongers of the world never go broke. You know, yeah. Why do you suppose the fearmongers and warmongers go hand in hand? Why the media keeps us G'd up with in terror about terror? Because it makes money. That's
right.
All. Yeah.
And here in Colorado, one of the leading immigrant bashers, Tom Tancredo, his district here, the 6th Congressional District, has
right.
a big Lockheed Martin plant. And they're going to be making a lot of money off of the drones that are going to be placed along the border and other high-tech surveillance equipment, Boeing as well.
Let me ask you something. Has anybody ever stopped Tancredo and say, okay, so you have these unmanned drones that go back and forth in the air and they track the illegals coming across the southern border. We know they're coming across the southern border. We don't have to know exactly where they are. We know they exist. That's not the issue. Doesn't anybody ever say, Tancredo, this is another way of widening the grift to somebody else who contributes to your campaigns?
Right, exactly. And a lot of people who come here and don't leave, they didn't cross the border physically. What they did is they flew here and they overstayed their visas.
40% of them. There are supposed to be 12 million illegals in America. 40% of them, do the math. 4,800,000 people supposedly just simply came here on visa, work permits, HB1s. They came here as tourists. They just stayed. And you know why? Because nothing's going to happen to them. Because a lot of people you're talking about, Preston, they assimilate rather easily. And Preston raises an interesting point that I want to get to before we split. And I definitely want to talk some more to you about this. 800-989-1480, that is our number. 800-989-1480. When we come back, it has been proven already that as economic parity happens, which in our particular case coming up means us falling and them rising by default, this does work. There's a precedent. We are at 800-989-1480. I'm Johnny Wendell at tbcwra@aol.com. Nova M Radio, The Mike Malloy Show. Do not go anywhere. Nova M Radio. This is the Mike Malloy Show. Johnny Wendell sitting in for the vacationing Mike Malloy. I am easily reached at tbcwra@aol.com. tbcwra@aol.com. If you want to keep talking and squawking and rocking after the clock has stopped clocking, that's where you find me. tbcwra@aol.com. The Boston Celtics will rise again at AOL.com. I'm from Boston, Massachusetts, a proud fan of the resuscitated franchise, the Celtics. Don't get angry at me because the Red Sox and Patriots are killing people with impunity sports-wise. I'm happy about it. I'm sorry. I admit it. However, being from Boston, I moved to California in 1989. I lived in Boston for most of the 1980s, New York City and Boston. And I can tell you, and we are talking about illegal immigration here, that in the 1980s in Boston, Massachusetts, you had 75 to 80,000 illegal undocumented immigrants, mostly in the construction trade, from the glorious Emerald Island of Ireland. That's right, from the northern part of Ireland where the troubles are. All the way to County Cork and Dublin and Shannon and the rest of Ireland. And I'll keep talking in the brogue because it's my show and I'll do what I like. No, I'm joking. And the reason was because the economy was terrible in Ireland in the 1980s. 15 to 20% unemployment. But they turned it around. In the 90s and in this decade, the Republic of Ireland has almost zero unemployment. And guess what? How many illegals are there from Ireland in Boston today? Almost none. And why? Because Ireland's economy is strong. You want to end illegal immigration? Like they care. Of course, the government doesn't want to end illegal immigration. But as Americans, what do? If the economies of Central American countries and Mexico are strong, their people are not going to want to come here. Conversely, if our economy stinks and sucks, as it does, they're also not going to want to come here. And in as much as our dollar is going to be worth next to nothing, if we keep pursuing these ridiculous and ruinous economic policies, I think illegal immigration is going to be an issue in the past. Do you agree with me? The falling dollar will drive illegals back across various borders. I say it's a no-brainer. We're at 800-989-1480. 800-989-1480. Sanchez in Montebello, California, just east of here. Sanchez.
Wendell.
Sanchez.
I agree with you 65% of what you were saying about the economics and the dropping of the dollar.
You have to beat me to death with the other 35%. That's fine. Go ahead.
Well, I won't beat you to death about that. I just want to say that it works only to a certain degree because most of these people, when they come here, they have children.
Right.
The children are already established here. That a lot of them will only speak English. Maybe they're bilingual.
But Sanchez, with the people you're talking about, the children, they are not illegals. They are
because
of birthright
here. Yes.
Citizenship.
That's
they're
correct.
Americans.
That's
okay.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that's why they won't return to their countries. It's because their children who were born here, despite the fact that they were illegal, will want to stay here. So 9 times out of 10, they won't want to pull their kids back to wherever.
Oh, not entirely true, Sanchez, because I you know, as you know, because you and I live in Southern California,
right.
A fair amount of people that go back and forth almost in a commuting fashion across the southern border because they have family ties in Mexico or in other parts of Central America, and it's not that big an issue for them to come back and forth. That's one of the problems with having a porous border is it's impossible to know who is where they are supposed to be.
Yeah, but
okay? I mean, and also, look at it like this. It's very simple. If our economy continues to deteriorate, it is no longer attractive to anybody to settle here. I mean, I know it sounds ridiculous. And Americans go, like, what are you, crazy? That's completely ridiculous. Our economy, it was the strongest in the world. It's not true. Our standard of living, we're, 17th, 18th in the world right now. We got ridiculously poor adult literacy. We have high infant mortality. It doesn't have to be this way. We are one of the wealthiest countries in the world per capita. But we spend our money on crap, and our dollar ain't worth nothing. Ryan in Chicago, Illinois, you're on with Johnny. Ryan.
Yes, hello.
Yes, Ryan.
You know, I don't know if I know enough to really agree or disagree with you, so I want to ask your opinion about a question here.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a two-part question. One is, let's just say, for example, our country at some point in the near future goes towards nationalized health care.
Yeah, single payer. Okay, go ahead.
Do you think that might increase immigration to our country?
Absolutely not. And the reason is because every civilized country in the West already has national health care. There are Americans who are treated in Europe and Canada. We now have what is called medical tourism to Asia because nobody can afford these procedures in America. No, it doesn't work that way, my friend. When we come back, a news story that will curdle your blood, something that you cannot believe would ever happen, and its effects. This is the Mike Malloy Show with Johnny Wendell sitting in. I'm at tbcwra@aol.com and at 800-989-1480. Nova M Radio. We've got another blessed hour to go, baby. Don't let me down. Hang on. Radio. This is the Mike Malloy Show. And I'm Johnny Wendelo. All right, I'm just Johnny Wendelo. I'm not Wendelo. I had to rhyme the thing, you know? You get touchy, you get punchy after a while with this nonsense, I admit it. Johnny Wendelo, I'm in for Mike Malloy. Mike will be back next week. Oh, my. If you want to talk to me after the talking is over, I'm at tbcwra@aol.com. tbcwra@aol.com. Easy to remember. The Boston Celtics will rise again. They have risen again, actually, along with the Patriots and the Red Sox. Good time to be from Boston, I guess. It's an even better time not to be in Boston, however. That's a different story for a different time. Every so often, you open up the news and you see something that you cannot believe is real. That it makes you wonder about human nature. It creates a cynic out of a romantic overnight, although most of us cynics were romantic a long, long, long time before last night. But stories that amaze you and horrify you. CNN reports, and this came out this morning, the three boys in Marietta, Georgia, they were 8 and 9 years old. They were charged the day before yesterday with raping an 11-year-old girl last week. It's in Marietta, Georgia, Newt Gingrich's old district. I'm not going to go into whatever. You know what I realize is interesting? The irony here is, remember that when Gingrich was in Congress, he claimed that murder of two children in South Carolina was the result of Democratic Party malfeasance and rotting morality. Isn't that amazing? And he represented Marietta, Georgia, where this happened. Three boys, 8 and 9 years old, charged with raping an 11-year-old girl. In 20 years of law enforcement, Police Chief Michael Wilkie of Ackworth, Georgia, which I guess is the town where it actually happened, he could have conceived of something like this. 2 9-year-olds and an 8-year-old clad in blue prison jumpsuits appeared in court in Cobb County, north of Atlanta, which, as we know, is they got problems besides this one. They're drying out. They're in the middle of a drought. In 2.5 months, there will be no water left there, but this is the misery du jour there, okay? They were in Monday afternoon to remain in custody until a further hearing. Family members were in court for their appearance. It was closed to reporters. The chief of police said girls told investigators that she was raped Thursday evening, 11 years old. She was examined by doctors after her family reported the allegation last Saturday, and investigators questioned her extensively on Sunday. The father of one of the boys said no force was used against the girl, said the allegations had been leveled because the accuser, the girl, said she didn't want to get in trouble with her parents. But because under Georgia law, the young cannot legally consent to sex, it has to be rape. We have to go with the charges we have. According to the Associated Press, one of the boys was accused of threatening to hit the girl with a rock before the alleged assault. The investigation, he also says, is far from over. Investigators are looking into claims that the alleged attack, after the attack, the girl talked about it with her friends at a slumber party. The investigators are following up on this. Have a lot of special training with forensic interviews with children, said the chief. We've sent them to a number of courses for this. We're confident that we've done the best part of the investigation already as the best we can. We think her story at this point is credible as we want to come forward with warrants. The girl's mother told WCGL-TV in Atlanta, they do need to be taught a lesson because if they did this to her, they could do it to somebody else. And who knows, when they become teenagers, what they will do to other girls. Okay? What's interesting in Georgia is the current rape charges against the boy would be replaced with juvenile charges. They're too young to be prosecuted as a felony. Under Georgia law, juvenile defendants must be at least 13 before a case can be transferred into the adult system, which would raise an interesting question if this weren't so. Can you imagine three boys, 8 and 9, going into an adult prison in Georgia? The juvenile charges could bring up to 5 years probation and time in a state youth home if the boys are ruled delinquent. Amazing. Three boys, 8 and 9, charged with raping an 11-year-old girl. Where did they find out about this stuff? Where did they hear of this stuff? What motivated them to do this kind of thing? What kind of household would you have to be brought up in for this sexual assault to have happened, if it in fact happened at all? There's a curious catch-22 afoot here. It has to be sexual assault because they're minors, therefore there is no such thing as consensual sex. Yet, that means that these boys can't possibly defend themselves. They are already guilty if any sexual activity happened. Now, this is what we end up with by having a society that sees absolutely everything in black and white. If consensual sex can't possibly occur with people this young, it means that if any sex happened, it is automatically sexual assault. It's automatically a rape, even though, for all we know, it's a he or him, them. It's a they said, she said against each other. For example, in the story, it says that she was telling her friends at a slumber party about this, presumably before she told the police. That means that her friends are aware of her story. She could have said, well, I want it, whatever. Question. Is a child cognizant enough of what goes on to either A, have consensual sex, or B, be charged of rape? Or have we gone into an area in the law here that nobody could have ever seen us negotiating? We're at 800-989-1480, 800-989-1480. If I'm a prosecutor in Cobb County, Georgia, I'm screwed in a major way. What would you do? You can't win with this thing. If the three boys' testimony jibes with each other, even at 8 and 9 years old, that yet she wanted to do this, and yet it's still rape because there's no such thing as consensual sex, what do you do? You are sending 8 and 9 year olds to juvenile facilities for up to 5 years. You're ruining their lives. I got to tell you something. Living here in Southern California, having many, many friends who have had a lot of time in and out of the judicial system, once you incarcerate, once you institutionalize, you create a paradigm which sets a person off for life. Once you institutionalize people, they can no longer think for themselves. They become used to the idea of people thinking for them. You want to start this at 8 and 9 years old? If you're the prosecutor in Georgia, what would you do? You know what I would do? Well, wait a minute. No. I'll get to that. What would you do in this case? We're at 800-989-1480, 800-989-1480. What would you do if this was thrown at you? Because remember, this is Georgia. Not too long ago, we had that case with Gennaro Wilson. Remember him? 17-year-old boy had consensual sex with a 15-year-old. Because she was underage, they charged him with sexual assault. They put him in jail. They wanted it to be for 10 years. But because, after all, it was consensual sex, they had to throw the thing out. Of course, they kept the kid in stir for another couple of months, but it was thrown out. What would you do? What would you do about this? Because nobody could have ever envisioned that this was a possibility. Nobody could have ever seen, guess what? Kids younger and younger and younger are reaching puberty. Kids younger and younger and younger. And this is Georgia we're talking about. Remember in Georgia not too long ago, the kids were breaking into this, and in Cobb County, Georgia, remember the story from last year, they're breaking into their parents' cable TV, watching the Playboy channel, and mimicking the acts that they saw. What would you do? What do you think of this? More evidence that decadence has set into our society? Or just a freak occurrence in the crazy state of Georgia? We're at 1-800-989-1480. 1-800-989-1480. Shocking the hell out of me, I gotta tell you. 800-989-1480. Wendell, in for Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
Nova M Radio. The Mike Malloy Show with Johnny Wendell sitting in. I'm easy to reach when off the air at tbcwra@aol.com. We are talking about this horrific story out of Cobb County, Georgia. Three boys aged 8 and 9 are charged with raping an 11-year-old girl. They claim that it was consensual sex, but according to Georgia law, minors cannot have consensual sex, so they are trapped in the teeth of the legal machine. If something is not rape, how can you prosecute it as rape? We are at 800-989-1480, 800-989-1480. Is it possible that children that young will have consensual sex with each other, and should they be prosecuted for sexual assault? Fact of the matter is, I can remember being 8 and 9. I have no idea how this ever transpired. I know times have changed considerably, but not to the point where this would have ever crossed the mind of anybody I ever knew. I don't see how, if the boys' stories jibe, and apparently this girl was telling her friends about this at a slumber party, if the people that she told, if those stories jibe, even if the law says there can be no such thing as consensual sex, even among people that young, you can't charge with rape either. This is the ultimate conundrum in laws that see things as black and white. We're at 800-989-1480, 989-1480. Michael, on Winds, Miami, Florida. You're on with Johnny. Michael.
Hello?
Michael.
Hi, Johnny.
Very cool. What's happening, man?
What's happening, man? I think the whole case is ridiculous. See, I think that we have a hang-up with sex in our society that people are blinded. Because I'll tell you my own experience, I was having sex since I was 10 years old.
You were?
Yes.
Consensual sex.
Consensual sex, yes.
Yeah, okay.
I don't understand. I'm not traumatized. I'm not a criminal. I'm not. We have a hang-up with people touching each other, with people being with each other. It's just like crazy. How could this? I guarantee you it was consensual sex, and they're making it seem more than it is.
Okay, but by the same token, here's the deal, man. The law specifically says that there can be no such thing, which is what's interesting. The law says this thing can't exist, yet in reality, we've seen that it is extant theoretically. Okay? It is extant theoretically. So how do you approach this as a prosecutor? What do you do? Because you have – fact of the matter is if it comes out in testimony that the three boys and the girl were all in on this together, they thought it was a lark of some kind, and they did it, and you end up sending the three kids to juvie, you've ruined their lives for something that seemed to be a victimless crime because at the time nobody seemed to be hurt. Or because it's children – none of this applies. Tangled web, wouldn't you say? Travis, in Indianapolis, Indiana. You're on with Johnny. Travis.
Yes.
Yes. What do you think of this? Yes, Travis, what do you think of this?
Hey, Johnny, I had the same thing happen to me when I was a young man. About 12, 13, me and my buddy had consensual sex with a young lady.
Okay.
She had a slumber party, had all her girls over there. The girls heard the story. Mom found out. Mom got upset. And then we were called into the police department. And, you know, we had no idea as young men that we did anything wrong.
Right.
So, you know, the same thing in the state of Indiana. You can't have consensual sex. So,
Obviously,
we were the bad guys and this and that.
Did they press charges against you?
Well, they really couldn't press charges.
Why not?
Because we didn't do anything wrong. We were kids that were uneducated.
Right.
And that's the thing we need. We need reconciliation between the families. They need to confront each other.
Right.
And then we need education younger these days. There's more exposure to all layers and levels of life. And kids are interested. And if we don't educate them, we certainly can't hold them accountable. And we certainly can't prosecute children.
This is
an issue that we have got to tackle. Prosecuting children. We need to educate them and take responsibility for them.
Well, also, you know, what raises an interesting point here, Travis, and thank you very much for calling, is if this had happened and these kids were 13, 14, 15 maybe, they might be going to an adult prison in Georgia. Do you know this? Sometimes they send juvenile offenders to adult prison when they don't have room for them. Guess what happens?
The rate of suicide among children stuck in an adult prison is 36 times higher, 36 times higher than it is of adult inmates. 36 times higher than that of adult inmates. Daniel, in Miami, Florida, on WINS, you're on with Johnny. Daniel.
Hey, how you doing?
What do you think, man?
I think, well, let me change the scenario for you a little bit. Remove the 11-year-old girl and put in these students' third-grade teacher, a female. What do you have then?
Well, it's an interesting thing, too, because whenever anybody brings up the subject of, like, the third-grade teacher and the young man in question, you ask any man off the record, and they'll say, you know, they can call it sexual assault or whatever, but I got to tell you something. I probably would have been way into it. This is a confusing web that we weave. When we come back, a much more interesting question for you from Wendell on Malloy's Nova M Radio show. Just because something is popular, is it good? We'll talk about that. Stay tuned.
Did slowly go by and feed them on your dreams. The one they fix, the one you know by.
Nova M Radio, the Mike Malloy Show. Johnny Wendell here, yo. I got to stop that rhyming thing. I'm losing my mind here. Yeah, Johnny Wendell in from Mike Malloy. Mike will be back Monday. I won't be in tomorrow. I don't know. Either it's going to be a best of or somebody else. I got no idea. All I know is I'm here tonight. What's that? Best of. Very good, very good. Okay. I'm told it is a best of. Okay, very, very nice. Great. You can talk to me if you feel like it at tbcwra@aol.com. tbcwra@aol.com. If you can't remember that, I realize I got this address. It's easier to remember. Johnny Angel Wendell at yahoo.com. Johnny Angel Wendell, because Angel was my stage name when I was a musician. Wendell is W-E-N-D-E-L-L at yahoo.com. JohnnyAngelWendell.com at yahoo.com. Late night and going nuts. Been a long day. Start every day with a trip down to me local Starbucks. We do have a local one down the street here, and it being in Los Angeles, we have one every 1/5 of a mile. That's the rule, Starbucks-wise, you know. They can't build them. It's got to be 1/5 of a mile away from each other. That's the deal. Used to be a mile, but now it's less, so I am told. At any rate, went into the Bucks, needed the caffeine, ordered up a chai tea, waiting for it to be made, and wafting through the air on one of the local FM oldies stations. Stop it! Boy, you're vicious, man. Wafting through the air on one of the local FM stations. Stop it! Was the Eagles song, Lion Eyes. Okay. A classic hit, if there ever was one. I'm sitting there, and I get my tea, and I start sipping my tea and eating my muffin. The thing is, like, floating through the air. And I got to tell you, I hate the song, okay? I've hated it for over 30 years. In fact, I hate the Eagles. Worst band of all time, in my humble opinion. Can't stomach them. You want to know, I mean, everybody has pet peeves about kinds of music they don't like, the kind of cars they don't like, kind of food they don't like, for whatever reason, rubs them the wrong way, okay? With me in this particular band, it's the innocuous, triacly sweet, pathetic, kind of sanguine, smug melodies of theirs, and all the songs, all the lyrics are about the same thing. Women are whores. Okay, that's what an Eagles song is about in a nutshell. Women are whores. Life in the fast lane. Women are whores. I give you the best of my love and you left me anyway. Women are whores. Stop it. Stop it. He's dying to play. I had to tell him that I was going to. He loves the Eagles. And I had to tell him, that like, how could you do this? Okay, I'm going to undermine you, Johnny. That's fine. Go ahead. Eagle me to death. However, the song Lion Eyes comes on. Notice, first line in the song, city girls just seem to find out early how to open doors with just a smile. What does that say? Women are whores. A good-looking woman will use her looks to get you to open doors, blah, blah, blah. And the song's about like a guy, a woman who cheats on her rich boyfriend with some guy across town. In other words, women are whores. And yet somehow, this is the most popular band on CD of all time. I looked this up. The Eagles' greatest hits, From Whence You Can Find, the song Lion Eyes, has sold 35 million copies. It sells almost a million copies a year in an era of downloading when you can get any of their crappy songs over the internet if you are so motivated. All right? And yet they say, and people love this stuff. They have to love this stuff. Why would you buy a CD in this day and age unless you really wanted something? Because you know you go to iTunes or whatever, you can buy it for 99 cents, or you just take it off of some website. But no. And I was thinking about this. I'm driving back to my house with my tea in hand, and I'm thinking, the popularity of this thing just doesn't make any sense. Because the band's crap, and it's ordinary garden variety muzak with this sappy pseudo-country crap atop it. I'm telling you something. You have got to stop this Eagle drop-in stuff. Enough. Thank you. It raises a question. On this eve of Thanksgiving, that I think we really ought to talk about in America, because we are a consumerist, populist culture group of people, are we not? Which is this. Is it possible that we have confused good and popular? Can something be excruciatingly popular and stink? People love it for no discernible reason. It moves tons of units. It's everywhere you go. You can't get away from it. It's mega popular. It's the quarterback of the football team. It's the head cheerleader. And you don't know why. Can something be popular and stink? We're at 800-989-1480. 1-800-989-1480. In other words, is my aesthetic a load of crap? So what if I don't like this band? Everybody else does. They're right and I'm wrong. Okay? Well, I would put this to you. Because this really is a critical issue, because when it comes down to art, or when it comes down to things that people enjoy, I think the idea in this capitalist crazed country of ours is that if something sells that much, it's got to be good. Because isn't that what our economy is based on? I would put it to you this way, my good friend. George W. Bush got elected president of the United States twice. He's popular. Is he good? I rest my case. Okay, and admittedly, the first time the Supreme Court appointed him, the second time he stole Ohio, I'll grant you all that stuff. But millions upon millions upon millions of people voted for this imbecile. Okay? Popular and good. Am I right? What's the most popular car of the 1990s? The Ford Taurus. Outsold every other car you can think of. Would you be caught dead in one of those at this point? Second most popular television show of the 1990s, Friends, was a load of unbelievable bilge and crap. Was number two in the ratings to Seinfeld every single week for years. It was junk. I couldn't believe anybody would watch that thing. What plot line? Friends, six white folks in New York City. Those are all the white people in New York City are six white folks. These people didn't have any black friends or Puerto Rican friends. What kind of New Yorkers were they? And plot lines. Please. Friends. Did they ever work? Most popular food in America for years. Doritos. I rest my case. However, when it comes to music, when it comes to art, when it comes to movies even, people will say, I mean, after all, every Monday morning you turn on your radio and they give you the box office results for the movies, the weekend tally, right? I got a question for you, man. Woman? Transgender? I got a question for you. Who cares how well a movie does at the box office? Did you invest in the thing? No, then why would you care? Are you part of Paramount or Sony or any of the production companies? No, you don't care. Did you write the thing? No. Did you act in it? No. Therefore, why would you care what the box office was? You know why they give you the box office figures? To say, listen, $42 million was spent on this movie this weekend. You better get on the bandwagon. You don't want to be one of those people that doesn't understand the greatness of this film. You better buy the Eagles' greatest hits because 35 million other people have bought it before you. You don't want to be left out. What are you, different? A wacko, a weirdo, a whack job, a nutcase? Come on! Get on that bandwagon, baby! That's why they do this stuff. But the question remains, can something popular stink? And do you have something that you want to share with Johnny? What we call a guilty pleasure. Something that you know is crap, and you love it anyway. We are at 800-989-1480. 1-800-989-1480. That is our number here. Perfectly appropriate. I mean, I admit there's a little bit of hypocrisy about getting pissed off at the Eagles while standing in a Starbucks. I recognize that. There is a dichotomy. It is a contradiction. I'm a complicated person. Cut me a break. June, in Miami Beach, Florida. Miami Beach, June. You're on with Johnny. Where are you, June? There you are, June.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well, June.
Good,
even though
good.
It's not June, it's November. Okay, June.
I, first of all, totally agree with you about the Eagles. All right,
let me ask you something. June, how old are you?
I'm 31.
Okay, so you're whatever. You've been cognizant of them probably as long as you've been alive. Can you explain to me the appeal of a group that calls itself soft rock? Okay, June, I've been hit in the face with a rock. I can tell you. Okay, yeah, Jumbo Shrimp, Civil War, Intelligent Republican. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I completely agree with you about the Eagles. I've never understood it. I have friends who look at me like I'm the biggest freak on the planet when I'm like, I hate the Eagles.
On the other hand, you are from Florida, and Jimmy Buffett is from Florida. That's kind of Eagles-like, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, well, he's another one who, like...
Okay. All right, but anyway, lest we digress here, June, the question is, why is it that people believe if something is popular, it automatically confers and bestows quality upon it? Why?
I think it could be part of kind of a collective unconscious type of thing.
Really?
Why? Like a monkey see, monkey do, you know. Just, you know, something gets enough hype and you think, oh, well, I have to watch it or I have to listen to it.
Let me ask you something, June. Do you ever think to yourself, I don't like the Eagles. There's got to be something wrong with me if 35 million people do. Remember the famous the Elvis thing, 50 million Elvis fans can't be wrong? Okay. I mean, isn't that the same basic idea? What's wrong with you? Why can't you love this wonderful thing? Everybody else loves it. What's your problem? I mean, isn't that part of this? They're trying to twist your arm into liking this dreck.
And I don't know why, you know, because, I mean, I guess it just goes down to personal taste.
Marketing and advertising is the poison that is crippling our society. Thank you so much for calling. When we come back, let us further examine this. Oh, you know something, man. I'm telling you something. I'm walking to Phoenix to throttle you for all this Eagle stuff. He's trying to have me barf up my Thanksgiving dinner in advance, and it hasn't even been made yet. Can something be popular that is crap? We're at... God, I hate this song. 800-989-1480. 800-989-1480. And the parallel question. Do you have a confession to make to Father Johnny Wendell about your guilty pleasure? It is the eve of Thanksgiving. You will hide nothing from me. 800-989-1480. This is the Mike Malloy Show on Nova M Radio. Don't go anywhere. Don't even try.
The things I've done, I know that I'm the foolish one. Now that I see who's to blame, I'm so ashamed. I'm sorry.
Nova M Radio, the Mike Malloy Show with Johnny Wendell sitting in. I'm sorry, too. We're discussing hating the Eagles. Not the Philadelphia football team or the symbol of our country, but the band, the Eagles, Glenn Frey and Don Henley and whoever, Joe Walsh is in the Eagles. Joe Walsh was in the James Gang. They were great. He was my hero when I was a kid. Walk Away and Funk 49. He went into the Eagles. He only did it for money. Should be ashamed of himself. However, irrelevant. I've gotten a bunch of emails at tbcwra@aol.com, tbcwra@aol.com, informing me that they don't like the Eagles either, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But they are claiming that there is a lot of dreck in society that is very popular inexplicably, and the name, this name comes up all the time, and I beg to differ. Britney Spears is a good recording artist. People go, what? It's true. Whoops, I Did It Again is a great song. It steals its melody from Mozart. It's clever. Everybody loved it. And the one before it, Hit Me Baby One More Time, great song. Her new one, the one that's all over MySpace, good song. Yes, she is a lousy mother. Yes, she's a drunk. Yes, she should probably be put in an 18-month lockdown program somewhere. But the idea that because Britney Spears makes overt pop music that she was a mousketeer and, yeah, she's kind of a bimbo from Louisiana, who said that George Bush was infallible. Okay, all those things are true. But she's a decent recording artist. The Eagles, no. And that is a critical distinction, too, because Britney Spears, that's crap. No, not crap. Good pop can be innocuous and lightweight and still be desirable. The Eagles have a patina of misogyny, cruelty to women. Who needs that stuff? It's mean-spirited. Keep it light and keep it happy. That's what I say. We're at 800-989-1480. Bob, somewhere in Massachusetts, you're on with Johnny. Bob?
Hey, Bob. It's Bob here.
Yes, Bob. How
are
you
doing?
Bob?
Yeah, I remember the Eagles. They were on every jukebox in every bar in every town with a population of 20,000.
No kidding.
And, you know, these people be sitting there with their heads, you know, bowed down, sipping their beer or whatever, their shot and beer, playing pool.
Yeah.
And it had to do with, you know, something of loss, something of pain, you know, this sorrow. you know, it's like, I was in a joint one time, and this gal played the Cheating Side of Town maybe 20 times over and
over. Oh, yeah, that's Lion Eyes. That's the song, yeah.
Yeah.
I know. And why would you want to listen to the thing? As soon as the needle drops on the record or as soon as the CD or the MP3 starts, you hear that kind of light guitar part, and you go, oh, I hate this song. This is just like a sugar fix or something. But, you know, for whatever reason, Bob, they love the Eagles. They wouldn't like Hank Williams. They wouldn't like Merle Haggard. They wouldn't like George Jones or Buck Owens. They want this California counterfeit version of same. And that's what I'm saying. This sells 35 million copies. It's ridiculous. I have a question for you, Bob.
Yeah.
Where are you from in Massachusetts?
I'm in Amherst.
You're in Amherst, the western part of the state. That's why
right.
You don't have an accent. Okay.
All right.
What's your guilty pleasure that you were afraid to admit to any of your friends that you really like and you know it's crap? What is it?
The Eagles' Desperado.
No!
Oh,
you suckered me! You suckered me! You're on hold forever. Goodbye, Desperado. Don't even think it, Ian. I know what you're thinking. Do not put that song on. Period. Armand, in Florida. You're on with Johnny.
Hey, how are you?
I'm all right, Armand. Or I was better before Bob suckered me there. Yes.
Well, I hope you have a good Thanksgiving.
I intend to, and you do as well.
I'd have to say one of the biggest pleasures for society that I'd have to say, in my opinion, is the most wrong for society.
Is what?
I'd have to say drugs and alcohol.
What kind
usage.
Okay, for one thing, Armand, I've been clean and sober for over 22 years. All right, so I had a problem with drugs and alcohol. Armand, not everybody does. And there are people who can do them in moderation. They're not always bad for you. Okay. So to put everything under the wide umbrella of drugs and alcohol is bad. Isn't that are you a clean and sober person, Armin?
Totally.
Okay. I am too. And I understand this. But I got to tell you something. And this is something people don't understand about people that don't use. If it wasn't for drugs and alcohol, I probably would have killed myself, okay? When they stopped working and doing what they did that got me through days and nights of desperation and existential angst, they stopped working at one point. I stopped doing them. That was it. And I haven't looked back. I don't have any cravings or obsessions with all this stuff. It's been lifted. It's gone. But I got to tell you something, man. People who have a beer every now and again, they say that a couple of glasses of red wine reduce blood pressure, heart disease, diabetes. I wish I could do that, but I can't. This had better not be the Eagles, Ian. I'm telling you, Phoenix is not that far away. Anyway, I am told by management of this radio network that I will be back in January for a week when the estimable Mr. Malloy decides to take a vacation. That is, unless somebody has played the Eagles on a loop over and over and over again, and I've either killed them or myself or both of us. Johnny Wendell's my name. I'm at tbcwra@aol.com. This is the Mike Malloy Radio Show on the Nova M Radio Network. Have a beautiful and wonderful and safe Thanksgiving. Good night.